back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. I promise those of you watching on the VSiN Watch app, we will get a new intro that doesn't say Dustin Sweetelson for Saturday nights. But in the meantime, you can look at his beautiful face before you see my beautiful face come your way here on these Saturday night shows. It's been an incredible weekend here in Las Vegas. Draft Nation put together an incredible event with the National Fantasy Football Draft Weekend. Fantasy football parties going on at Stadium Swim. So many drafts, including celebrities, fantasy football experts and analysts, and my next guest in studio, you know him well, he's one of the best when it comes to fantasy football, the great Michael Fabiano from SI Fantasy, Locked On Dynasty, the Fantasy Football Forecast. Everywhere you see this guy, he's handing out winners when it comes to fantasy football and season-long props. Fabs, appreciate you joining us here on VSiN. It was a year ago, you sat in this very chair, and I said, give me a best bet for the season, Fabs. I said, you've been doing all your fantasy drafts. Give me your best bet for the season. And you said, my best bet by far is Saquon Barkley under his rushing prop. And that was a rocking chair winner for you. So congratulations. Yeah. Nice and easy.
Yeah.
Do we think it goes the opposite way this year? What are your thoughts on Saquon and the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think the good news now is that the price tag, if you're talking fantasy football, is not nearly what it was last year with Saquon Barkley, but you can get probably in the second round at this point.
Yeah.
So there's less risk there. I still see him as like basically a low RB1, maybe a high RB2, depending on what your draft strategy is. If you're going after two running backs in the first couple of rounds, I would expect that he'll have numbers similar to what he had last year. I don't know that Barkley's going to get back to an elite level, though, from a fantasy football perspective. You know, we were talking before we came on, Sean Mannion, they want to have a lot of under-center plays with Jalen Hurts, and that Saquon Barkley has been better under when the quarterback's under-center rather than in the shotgun, so that could benefit him. But there's a lot of things that we don't know about this offense. What's it going to look like under Mannion? What's it going to look like without A.J. Brown? You know, Devontae Smith's the number one guy. Devontae Smith's been hurt a lot this summer, which, like, what's going on with these injuries, bro? It is like the Santa Clara electric substations have just gone all the way across the country, and they're jacking everybody up. Like, I'm telling you right now, this August has been the most hectic August I can remember for updating my player rankings.
Wow.
Because legit, like every single week, Luther Burden's out. Emeka Buka's got a toe. You know, Devontae Smith hasn't practiced. Like, my God, what's going on? We already know Pearsall is going to be out for the season. So I don't know what has happened with all that. I cannot remember a summer with so many injuries, especially including dudes who don't even play in the preseason. Mm-hmm. It's been wild.
I think that's the issue, though. Because I think what we've seen is, and I talked about this before, the preseason has completely changed. We know it's not just the change in the three-week schedule, but teams are now having more joint practices.
Yeah.
And it's not just one day of joint practices. They're doing 3 days. They're doing a whole week of joint practices. And we know coaches get more out of these joint practices than they do a preseason game. So you're seeing these players not play in the preseason. And I think over the years, we've seen less and less hitting in practice. Right? We've seen less and less practice time. And I think it's actually led to more injuries as opposed to what the NFL wants to see, which is less injuries. Mm-hmm. Because as we know, and anybody will tell you, there's a difference between being in shape and being in football shape. Players need to play football. They need to get hit. They need to cut. They need to, you know, move on the field and get tackled and go make plays in order to get their bodies ready for the NFL season. And early on in the preseason, they're not ready. And that's why we're seeing these injuries.
And last year, if you remember, we saw a ton of injuries, especially at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Remember when the guys at wide receiver got hurt last year? When you talk about some of the players that ended up in the top 10, like Zay Flowers, in a traditional like year where we don't see so many wide receiver injuries, he's not going to be a top 10 wide receiver. Michael Wilson,
who did nothing
for, you know, for the first half of the season, was in the top 10 among wide receivers. I mean, typically we're not going to see that. So I do wonder if there's something to it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more travel. You know, there's all these international games. They're starting the year in Australia.
Yeah.
So then you have questions about, of course, it's the Niners going over there with all the injuries. What's going on with George Kittle? So a lot of question marks. But imagine when they, and I think they will at some point, go to 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries, and I remember saying this last year, the injuries were so just unbelievably egregious that it almost made fantasy football less fun.
Sure, yeah.
And fantasy football is all supposed to be about fun. Mm-hmm. But when you continually are getting guys who you drafted to be your stars getting hurt all the time, especially that wide receiver. There were so many guys who got hurt last year. It makes it more challenging, but for the fan who's kind of a casual,
yeah,
it becomes a little bit more frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the most fun that you have during the fantasy football season is your fantasy football draft. It's not the Tuesday that you're spending late night on the waiver wire because right. you're trying to beat your league mates mm-hmm. to pick up the unknown player that you think has the, oh, he's the next man up, right? So, yeah, when these stars go down, it sours people a little bit on, yep. on the sport of fantasy. Yep.
I mean, what was it? 2 years ago, we had 66 quarterbacks play, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And a lot of bad quarterbacks.
Man. Yeah, exactly. Think of some of the quarterbacks that were playing at the end of last year. Phillip Rivers was 105 years old. He was playing because the Colts were just all. It was brutal, man.
Max Brosmer.
Oh my God. Speaking of, I think he might have been better than J.J. McCarthy, though.
Speaking of Saquon Barkley, obviously after the 2,000 yard year last year was a significant downgrade at 1,140 yards. Up on DraftKings right now, 1,099.5 rushing yards for Saquon Barkley. Now, full disclosure, in the VSiN NFL betting guide, I did give out a futures bet on Barkley to lead the league in rushing. At the time, it was 11-1, 10-1 odds. And the reason why is because when I looked at the Eagles' schedule and factored it against my Trench Report numbers from last year, they play one of the easiest rushing slates in the NFL. So their opponents don't really stop the run. And with the Sean Mannion factor, I figured more under center runs, you know, under center snaps for Jalen Hurts. So I think a bounce back season is in store here for Saquon Barkley. Looking at that number, 1,099, would you lean over or under?
You know, I think you can get to that. Okay. I mean, 1,099 yards is not a lot.
Even in a bad year last year, he went over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and they're going to have to utilize him. Imagine the scenario with the Eagles if, we know A.J. Brown's gone. Devontae Smith can't stay healthy. Mekhi Lemon, where's he been? He's been hurt, right? I mean, they got Dontavian Wicks in there. There's a worst-case scenario for the Eagles where, I mean, Saquon Barkley is getting a ton of touches. But then you also run into the, well, he's 29 years old. Can he handle all this work after handling so many touches throughout the course of his career between the G-men and the Eagles? I would suggest this at the running back position, when you're talking about fantasy football, there is, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 guys who you could feel mostly comfortable with as your RB1, your RB2, and then you get into the, you know, the cliff where it's committees. Okay, who's going to be the guy that you want to start every week in Pittsburgh? Not sure yet. Yeah. Is it going to be Jalen Warren? Is it going to be Rodale? Carolina, we're all gaga over Jonathan Brooks right now. He's had two ACLs in the last 2 years. Chuba Hubbard's still there. Who's going to be the lead guy there? We're not really sure. So there's the running back position has become much more valuable at the top.
Yeah.
So if you don't come out of the first four rounds with two running backs, you may be in a little bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. You may be playing a lot of the matchups on a week-to-week basis. But I mean, Barkley, at least we know that the volume is going to be there. But I will say this. If you draft Saquon, get Tank Bigsby late, just in case.
You always want those handcuffs. We're talking to the great Michael Fabiano joining me in the studio here. I'm Scott Sadenberg. It's Cashing Out on VSiN. You can catch Fabs, SI Fantasy, Locked On Dynasty Podcast, Fantasy Football Forecast. One of the plays that I played already for the season-long prop projections is Giants running back Cam Scataboo. Played him under a number that's not available anymore. It was 824.5 yards. It's down now to 799. I would still recommend an under on 799. Now, in eight games last year, he ran for 410 yards and he had five touchdowns. But we know he's injury prone. He's reckless when he plays. And the Giants did also just bring in Najee Harris, who we're hearing good reports about during training camp. What do you think of Cam Scataboo's outlook this year?
I really was in on him. And when they signed Najee to a degree, I'm not still on him. Najee's coming off an Achilles, right? But I also think Najee Harris didn't sign with the Giants to be the third or fourth string running backs.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe Devin Singletary is not on the roster. Maybe they move Tyrone Tracy. I'm not sure. Because the most important thing for the Giants is pass protection for Jackson Dart. And we saw Tracy blow a pass protection assignment where, you know, Dart got lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They're not going to have four running backs on that roster, you know, when they break. So I think that is still a story that needs to be told. If you look at Scatabo's numbers last year and the touch share, when he was the guy, he was a featured back.
Yeah.
Like almost every single game, he was getting 18-plus touches per game. He was averaging over 16 points per game. He was phenomenal, but it was just a small sample size because he got hurt.
Yeah.
So I think the potential is there for him. And Harbaugh, you know, Harbaugh likes those big, bruising running backs.
Sure.
I mean, you know, throughout his career in Baltimore, you know, you had like the Mark Ingrams and obviously the Derrick Henrys and guys like that. So I think he's going to be the lead back. But does Najee become his handcuff? Does Najee put a dent into his touches? I got to see what Najee Harris looks like on the field because he's coming off an Achilles and we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
So the signing was, to me, a little bit eye-opening.
Hmm.
But I think this is a story that we don't know exactly how it's going to go yet, because if Najee looks good, does he put a dent in Scadabo's touches? Is he the handcuff? Is it not Tracy? Do they move on from Tracy? Do they not keep Singletary? So I love the player. I love watching this dude play.
Yeah.
I wish he would do fewer backflips on stages and he wasn't so reckless. I think this year, though, if Scadabo has a good year, mm-hmm. then you're going to see him kind of vault into fantasy stardom.
Yeah.
If he gets hurt, misses half the season, whatever the case may be, then he's going to be a guy that everyone's going to be worried about moving forward because of the lack of durability.
Just feels like a guy that's going to celebrate a touchdown by headbutting the wall and be out with a concussion.
You remember Gus Frerotte?
I was about to say Gus Frerotte. 30 seconds. Give me somebody that you're head over heels on this season.
Emeka Ibuka.
Yeah, okay.
The toe freaks me out a little bit.
Sure, sure.
I will tell you that.
But no Mike Evans now. He's the man.
If that guy is healthy and he plays 15 games, he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy this year.
All right. He's Michael Fabiano. Check out Locked On Dynasty Podcast, also a fantasy football forecast, and read all his work at Sports Illustrated Fantasy, SI Fantasy. He's always on Twitter as well at Michael Fabiano. Great stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of the weekend here. Draft Nation, the fantasy football. It's a holiday. Gear up, man. Football season's here.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
I can't wait.
Yep.
It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Michael Fabiano, the great fantasy football analyst who joined us in studio last segment. Very high on Emeka Ibuka from the Tampa Bay Bucks. Not worried about the toe injury and thinks that Cam Scadabo has tremendous upside. I'm actually fading the Scadabo love here. I played the under 7. I would recommend still playing the under 799.5 rushing yards here for Cam Scadabo of the New York Giants. I think that the Najee Harris, I think the Giants are going to be decent this year, but the Najee Harris signing, you don't just sign a guy like that for nothing and just to have some depth in your running back room. I do think that one of these backs could be one of the odd men out, and Najee Harris gets some run this year for the New York Giants. And I think that Scadabo is a guy who had a heavy usage last year, and he could still be heavily involved in the passing game, but I could see him more as, you know, a goal line back. And maybe not so much, and a third down back, by the way, because of the pass protection. Like Tyrone Tracy, if he's the backup, maybe Tracy's your first down back. Maybe Tracy's your first and second down back, or Najee Harris is your first and second down back, or first down back, and Cam Scadabo's your second and third. I just think I can see a scenario in which there's more of a playing time split with Scadabo, and also the injury risk. And that's the thing. Whenever you're betting season-long player props, the unders are always going to be more profitable. It's just the way it is. There's more ways to cash an under than to cash an over. It's just, it happens. Injuries happen. The unknown happens. You can handicap all you want how great a player is going to be. I talked about Saquon Barkley. I gave it out in the VSiN betting guide why I think he's a good candidate to be the rushing yards leader this year because of the new offense there in Philadelphia, more of a focus on the run, more under center runs, and also the schedule. They play a weak rushing defensive schedule. What if Saquon gets hurt? What if he doesn't play a full season? You can handicap everything correctly, and an injury just derails you. Also, when it comes to player projections and player props and season-long numbers, you can't just look at a stat and say, and I hear this all the time, and this is with all due respect, honestly, to great people that we have here on this network and other networks and stuff, but we got to stop with the whole idea of, well, it just means he has to average, you know, 70 yards a game, and that's easy to do. Again,
you're thinking that they're playing the entire season. And you're thinking that they're playing the entire season in the same role. When in the reality, that doesn't happen. Okay? You can't just take Cam Scataboo, 800 yards, right? You can't just say that he plays 17 games and so all he needs is 47, 48 yards per game and that's easy. How is he not going to get 48 yards per game? We're easily going to win this bet. Again, you're assuming that they play all 17 games. And you're assuming that they play all 17 games in the same game script. And that's just impossible. Because there's going to be games where your team is losing by three scores. And guess what? They abandon the run and they're passing the whole game. And that's a game where you don't get to your 47 or 48 yards because they're losing by three scores early on and it's a pass-heavy focus that game. There's going to be games where they're winning by three or four scores and the backups are in running the ball and not the starters in the fourth quarter or throughout the second half. The game script changes every single week. You cannot look at a season-long player prop and just say, let's divide it by 17 games, and that's why I'm going to make this bet. No. Make your bet based on how you think the game script's going to go for 17 weeks. For example, another prop I like, the rookie, Jeremiah Love, for the Arizona Cardinals. I love Jeremiah Love to go under his 774.5 rushing yards this year. One, he's already hurt, right? Dealing with an ankle sprain in the preseason, should have never played that many snaps in the first preseason game or second preseason game, but his first, that's besides the point. Already hurt, so could get hurt again. He also is playing behind one of, if not the worst, offensive lines in the NFL. In the Arizona Cardinals. Actually, I'll tell you where they rank right now because I actually updated my trench report for week one of the preseason and preseason injuries. So my trench report right now, if we look at the rankings for the Arizona Cardinals, they are 27th overall in the trenches. Let's look at their run blocking. Actually, it's not bad. 14th overall in run blocking. But actually, that's got to change because they lost their starting guard, I believe. Was the injury that they lost, if I'm not mistaken, that happened in that Raider game? If am I correct on that? Let me double check my nuggets here. So I'm going to redo every week of the preseason, I'm redoing the trench report based off of injuries and then replacing those players that are injured. But yeah, I believe it was, Chase Bisantis, who was a rookie that was expected to start for them, is now on IR. So you replace him with Isaiah Adams at right guard. So obviously it changes everything on their offensive line. So I'm going to have to redo their grading. But what I do know is they play the most difficult schedule in the NFL based on Vegas win totals. And then if I look at the trench report strength of schedule, which is something that I did, again, just going off of last year's numbers, and I'll change it going off of, like I say, I'm doing it every week. But they play the most difficult trench strength of schedule. They will actually be they will have like the disadvantage in, I think, every game that they play. Every game that they play. I mean, look at the division they play in, right? You got to play the Rams twice. That's just brutal. The Rams are the number one trench team in the entire NFL. And then, like, all these other teams that they play are just great in the trenches. Not just the Rams twice. Seattle twice. They play Philly. They play Kansas City, who's great in the trenches too. It's just a brutal trench schedule for them. So it's just another reason why I like, the under on Jeremiah Love. Like, I think he's going to be this year's Ashton Jeanty. Great running back, incredible talent, playing behind a terrible offensive line. And by the way, Ashton Jeanty last year actually finished with 975 yards in 17 games. So he actually had a good season. 17 games for Ashton Jeanty. Jeremiah Love, that number obviously is reduced because of how bad Arizona the line is. But also, can we talk about the game script? they're going to be trailing in the majority of their games. Are they going to be running the ball in a lot of their games? Maybe early on, but once they're down a couple of scores, they're probably going to be a pass-happy offense because they're going to be trailing in games. And so it's another reason why I like Love to go under his rushing yardage prop. There's injury, there's the schedule, there's the game script that they're going to be passing more because they're going to be losing in games, and then there's the idea that at the end of the season, when they have nothing to play for but the number one overall pick and their future franchise quarterback, that maybe the kid sits the rest of the year. When you want to put him in bubble wrap and make it so that you don't lose him for next season, if he gets hurt at the end of the year. Unders are always going to be more profitable. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't certain overs that you can play because you think that your research has shown you have an edge over the market number, that you think there is a reason that the number is not good enough because it's something that the market's not accounting for, right? For instance, maybe it is a player that's a rookie or a second string guy or a third string guy that you believe gets more playing time than what the market is pricing in. Or if you think a team is going to go in a certain direction at some point during the season, whether it's a quarterback switch, right? Or a head coach that gets fired, and who's the new coach that takes over in the interim. If it's a defensive coordinator that you think takes over in the interim, maybe that team becomes more of a run-heavy and a defensive-minded team. If it's an offensive coordinator that takes over, maybe it's a team that becomes more pass-happy and a more offensive-oriented team. All these things you can factor in when making your season-long player prop projections and bets. Look, college football season's almost here. Week zero, next week. Betting it blind, that's a losing strategy, guys. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Talk a little college football. Let's get you caught up on NFL preseason action. Coming up next, it's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. In progress right now, we got the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals preseason week number two wrapping up with this game tonight and one game coming up tomorrow. But at the half, the Cowboys with a 24-6 lead over the Cardinals. Joe Milton played the bulk of the first half here for the Dallas Cowboys. 9 of 13 passing, 179 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gardner Minshew played the entire first half for the Cardinals. 15 of 18 passing, 138 yards and an interception that led to a Dallas score eventually. Now it's going to be in the second half. Sam Howell will take over for the Dallas Cowboys, and it'll be Keaton Slovis in the game for the Arizona Cardinals. So no feel, honestly, for a second-half bet. I would lean towards the Arizona Cardinals. Dallas got the football to start the game, so we know that Arizona gets the ball to start the third quarter. And I would think that, with a 24-6 lead, Dallas might be happy to kind of get out of Dodge here without any injuries. And we've seen so many comebacks in these NFL preseason games where a team's just dominating in the first half and the other team just scores in the second half because they're trying to do something that the other team just already accomplished there in the first half. But we've also seen some of these teams just be bad for the entirety of the game, right? Just not score at all. The Miami Dolphins have been terrible here so far in this preseason.
They lose 26-3 earlier today to the New York Giants. I mean, Miami has their first, and we know Miami's going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, right? But it was, let's see, their first drive of the preseason. Let me get this straight. It was their first drive of the preseason. Malik Willis, 14 plays, 95 yards, and a touchdown. 19 drives after that in weeks one and two of the preseason, the Dolphins have scored 3 points. And that was today. 3 points. 12 three and outs on those 19 drives. How do you learn anything about your offense and what you're going to do this season when 12 of your 19 drives without your starting quarterback here in the preseason, you've gone three and out? Miami is, first off, they're in the running, and they're going to continue to be in the running for the worst record in the NFL this year and the number one overall pick. Right now, let's see. Up on DraftKings, let's look at the season. Let's look at the fewest wins market. Arizona Cardinals plus 250. Miami Dolphins plus 350. Listen, Malik Willis could be just that much better and their first team offense could be fine and we can't really overreact to what we see in the preseason because these are backups and third string guys and fourth string guys. But so far, I mean, depth is a major factor in the NFL. You know, guys get hurt all the time. And what we're seeing here from the Miami Dolphins depth is that they are pathetic. So maybe Dolphins plus 350 in the fewest wins market is the way to go. So we're keeping an eye on everything going on here in the NFL preseason. We'll run some NFL preseason trends coming up here in a minute, as we'll take an early look at not just tomorrow's final game of the NFL preseason week two. Tomorrow night we have Sunday Night Football, and that's going to feature the Seattle Seahawks at the Tennessee Titans. It's a Sunday night game on Fox, though. Anyway, so we'll have Sunday Night Football tomorrow night, and then preseason week three will be on Thursday. So I want to go through some of these trends and numbers and kind of take an early look at week three of the NFL preseason. But we talked a little, we teased a little college football, and so I want to give a little college football talk. Coming up at the top of the hour, Doug Kazarian will join us in studio. You've heard him host across the network here. We'll get his thoughts on some NFL preseason things, what he's been betting, what he's going to be betting moving forward. And then a little bit later on, Greg Peterson will join us as we'll preview the Major League Baseball slate for tomorrow to see if favorites continue to dominate here in the Major League Baseball month of August, which we looked at the numbers. Since the 2021 season, the best month for favorites in Major League Baseball, the month of August. But let's talk college football. Week zero is upon us. And it's not just week zero coming up on Saturday, which I can't wait to come on this very show next Saturday, talking about the games that we saw early in week zero, talk about the game that will be in progress when we hit the air, which is UNLV against Memphis. But it's not just those games. We actually have FCS football that's starting earlier in the week. I believe it's Thursday. We have FCS football, which can be very profitable if you know who to bet, if you know about these teams. But let's talk week zero. The action's going to get started with the Dublin-Ireland game between North Carolina and TCU. We've seen the spread move a little bit. We've seen the total move a little bit. Right now, we're sitting at TCU -7.5. And the total of 47.5. I'm on the under in this game. Now, with three straight years, we've had a total of 45 in this game. Identical 24-21 scores the past 2 years. 3 years ago, Notre Dame had that 42-3 win. Still added up to 45. But we've had three straight games of 45. I don't know how we get to 45 in this game. North Carolina named the starting quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., and I thought that was the right move by Bill Belichick, as he's like probably the more seasoned quarterback to Miles O'Neill, the other option that they have there in Chapel Hill. But there is a lot of uncertainty going on with this team right now. Stephen Belichick, the defensive coordinator, stepped away from the team. He's dealing with a little health issues, and
probably not. We don't know his situation here for week zero in Ireland, but I guess you're not really worried about that. You're worried about, you know, you're not worried about Bill having to take over and coach some defense. I don't know exactly what their offense is going to look like this year. Bobby Petrino comes in, takes over the offense. So we'll see if, you know, he can bring in his high-flying tactics. Is the talent there? Our very, you know, our good friend Michael Lombardi, who got, you know, dismissed, not dismissed, had to take some step away from the program to deal with some, you know, off-the-field stuff as well. I just feel like there's a lot of extracurricular stuff going on with North Carolina. Combine that with a travel to Ireland to deal with this game, and yeah, it's a bit much. And I know Belichick has dealt with, you know, international travel before, but it's a bit much for these kids. And then there's TCU, which talent-wise should dominate this game, right? Like, I don't, North Carolina's probably not going to be able to run the ball against TCU. TCU will have the edge in the trenches. In fact, I did my trench report this year, not just in the NFL, but this year I'm actually doing a trench report in college football. So that's going to be very exciting to debut this year. North Carolina, in my early trench report, now how am I doing the trench report in college football for week zero and week one? It's literally going off of last year's data with roster turnover. So I took the rosters from for every team this year. So that includes like transfer portal and things like that. And looked at the numbers from last year. So it's not like 100% accurate. Nothing ever is. But with once we start getting games for the 2026 season, then the data will be better. But anyway, based on last year's data with roster turnover, TCU has a slight edge in the trenches. The TCU run defense will have a very significant edge against the North Carolina run blocking unit. North Carolina's not going to be able to run the ball on TCU. North Carolina will have a small edge in their rushing defense against TCU's rushing attack. Where TCU will have the most success is likely going to be through the air. However, TCU's dealing with distractions. Their starting safety was kicked off the team for beating the snot out of one of their wide receivers. He put the kid in the hospital. He's not playing in the first game, their wide receiver who's in the hospital. And with locker room turmoil like that, with an international trip built in, I don't know what that where their heads are at. This game just feels like two teams that have a lot more to deal with than just playing a game. And now we're throwing that game in Dublin, Ireland? The under is the only way that I want to go with this total. And I think the 47.5 is going to be gone, honestly, by the time we get to kickoff here on Saturday morning. But again, with all the uncertainty and really, for lack of a better term, turmoil, man, I just want to fade both of these teams, to be honest. Just think we're in for an ugly game. Maybe it's a one-sided game for TCU, but either way, under 47.5, week zero, TCU in North Carolina. We'll do more on that coming up, obviously, tomorrow and then as we progress through the week. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Coming up at the top of the hour, our very own Doug Kazarian will join us here on the program, get some of his thoughts on the NFL preseason and where he's looking to bet maybe week three of the preseason, any season-long NFL futures that he has bet as well. Greg Peterson will join us a little bit later on, get a preview of tomorrow's slate of Major League Baseball games. Wanted to go over some trends here in the NFL preseason to see where we are after 2 weeks. Well, week two is not over yet, but for the most part, we are at week two here of the NFL preseason. So in week one of the NFL preseason, it was dominated by underdogs. That was, if all you did was bet the underdogs in week number one of the NFL preseason, what was it, 13-3 against the spread? Like, you absolutely crushed it betting NFL preseason underdogs in week number one. And you know something? It continued here in week number two. The underdogs continued to dominate. It was 4-1 coming into today what the underdogs were. And that was the games that occurred on Thursday and then on Friday. Then we started the day with a number of underdogs winning and going 5-2 to start the day. And here's how we finished the day. And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys, who are up right now 24-6 on the Cardinals, they closed as a 1.5-point dog. But again, different books, like there might be some books that list it differently. But earlier today, we had Kansas City lose outright but cover as a dog. New England win outright as a dog. Cincy win outright as a dog. The Rams win outright as a dog. Falcons win outright as a dog. Baltimore win outright as a dog. Buffalo win outright as a dog. I mean, the only one that lost the game and didn't win outright was the Chiefs, who were 3.5-point dogs, and they covered, losing 16-15. The only favorites that won here today were the New York Giants, 3.5-point favorites over Miami. They won 26-3. The Detroit Lions, 1.5-point favorites, won 17-13 against the Washington Commanders. The Cowboys are about to win outright as a dog as well. Underdogs dominating here in the NFL preseason. Does that continue going into preseason week number three? Lines obviously not out for preseason week number three just yet, but does it continue? Do the sports books adjust because of the underdogs dominating here so much in the preseason? And why? Why do the underdogs dominate? Well, think about it. We don't know who's playing. The sports books don't know who's playing. And sometimes the information that we do have doesn't always play out. We can fish for the information. We can try and find out who's starting who, who's playing who for how long, and it changes completely over the course of the game. You can see, you know, we can find out, hey, this player warmed up during pregame warmups and didn't play. Christian McCaffrey for the 49ers warmed up during pregame warmups, did not play. Why? Well, he's dealing with a little bit of a tweak. Kyle Shanahan didn't want to, you know, have him play. Well, then why was he in uniform warming up before the game? Well, because we're trying to get our guys used to getting warmed up for a regular season game. It's a preseason. This is, we're going through the motions. But it throws everybody off. So money comes pouring in on San Francisco because you think McCaffrey's going to play the opening drive. Even though it's one drive, that one drive could be 7-0. And sometimes 7-0 is all you need to have a massive edge in these preseason games. So sometimes we think we know something, and then it turns out we don't because everything changes. But also, I'm telling you, we're seeing more and more backups, and we don't know how to price these backups, but we're seeing more and more backups play here in the preseason because of the amount of joint practices, the increase in joint practices around the NFL. That's where I think we are at here. The increase in joint practices in the NFL now, because I'm curious. I just want to see something real quick. Overall, dogs in the NFL preseason since the start of the 2021 season, and this is not counting today's results, which were incredible, as I mentioned. What was it, 5-2, 6-2? 54.5%. ATS, 140, 117, and 3. In fact, let me look at something. I want to look by season if we can track this, because I would venture that it has actually been better. Let's see. Last year, dogs were 20. Oh, that's straight up. ATS. Last year, dogs were 25 and 24 ATS. 2024, 29 and 17 ATS. 2023, 25 and 24. Then 22, 23 and 1. 22, 24 and 2 in 2021. And then, yeah, you had some negative years before that, some positive years, but a lot of negative years in the 2000s. I think we've seen dogs cover at a higher rate now because more backups are playing and we don't know how to price the backups, or the market doesn't know how to price the backups. Because with the increase in joint practices, coaches are getting better looks at their starters in a controlled environment, and so that they're not playing them during these preseason games. Sometimes they're only getting one series and that's it. And I was very curious. I ran this query last year. I published a report on this, and I'm going to do it again this year because I have all the updated numbers now. On, do preseason snaps matter for quarterbacks? And the answer, and it's the reason why I've already placed a wager on week number one of the NFL season in the Denver Broncos, plus the three. Don't know if the three is still out there. I think it's 2.5 now. But the reason why I did that is because Patrick Mahomes ain't playing here in the preseason. Okay? Bo Nix, by the way, looks great in the preseason. But Patrick Mahomes ain't playing in the preseason. And the reason why I love this is the numbers show that when quarterbacks don't play in the preseason, in week number one, the production suffers. Okay? The production suffers in week number one. So here's some data I'm going to pull up for you guys. And it's not just against the spread, but it's, we see it in the first half, and we see in the, not just the first half, but we see in the team totals as well. So here's some numbers from 2021, because again, that's the new preseason era. From 2021 through last year, 2025, okay? Quarterbacks with zero dropbacks during the preseason. Zero dropbacks during the preseason. In week number one, their teams have a negative ATS margin of 2.08 points. Their teams, on average, do not cover the spread by 2.08 points. Their team totals go under, on average, by 2.32 points per game. The full games go under by an average of 2.67 points per game. The first half ATS margin for these teams, negative 1.78. So think about that for a moment. The full game negative ATS margin is 2.08. 1.78 of that happens in the first half ATS margin. The first half team totals go under by 0.98, and the first halves are pretty much, the over-unders are pretty even. They go under by 0.18 points. So across every bettable metric, quarterbacks that have zero dropbacks in the NFL preseason see them, their numbers and productions suffer in week number one. And these numbers, by the way, are actually skewed because of two really high-scoring games in last year's week number one with teams that the quarterbacks didn't play, like Lamar Jackson against Josh Allen. Both guys didn't play in the preseason. Monster. That was 80-something points in that game. Aaron Rodgers put up a ton of points against the New York Jets. And still, these numbers show you negative numbers. Amazing stuff here. Hey, Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Tim Murray and Matt Humans are headed to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime live from the islands Wednesday, August 26th. Plus, a beach edition of the College Football Betting Podcast breaking down all the Week Zero action. Don't miss VSiN in Paradise live from Hawaii Wednesday, August 26th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern only on VSiN. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out
here on the Sports Betting Network.